Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wildcat Golf Club for ESPN Houston's Occasional Invitational. Here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Who were incredibly shorthanded here tonight. Again, no moral victories at this level, but I think you have to be really proud about the effort and execution by this group here tonight. Whitmore tied his career high. Reed Shepard had a career high. Really, really good stuff here by the Rockets, despite a 137-128 loss.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. Happy Mardi Gras, one and all. We are out here for a very pleasant day at Wildcat Golf Club for the ESPN Houston Occasional Invitational. The drinks are many. The golf is in progress. Who knows who's winning? I've mastered the sport. We do not need to see me out there. It's the best thing to say to anyone who is an expert golfer if you want to troll them. I've mastered the sport. Just do it. Do it. Do it with a straight face, deadpan. See what happens. They'll probably get annoyed. You heard Craig Ackerman of the Space City Home Network on the way into the beginning of today's show after a noble Rockets 137-128 loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I say it's a noble loss because even though they gave up 137 points, and even though Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 51 of those 137 points, the Rockets hung in there as long as they could. Because they went into last night's game with both of their hands tied behind their back and perhaps one leg. I understand that everyone does this in basketball, where you selectively rest guys based off of your schedule. And since the Rockets play a game tonight against Indiana and then play another game on Thursday, three games in four nights, and with the way that basketball is these days, I can understand why the Rockets rested several players. But man, it is so lame that this is now acceptable. It's lame that there's no pushback to this. A sport where guys are getting paid generally $5 to $10 million, bare minimum. We can't see these guys out there every single night. A showdown between the Rockets and the team that's the first to 50 wins after last night's dub in the Western Conference. We can't see these teams both at full strength. I get that Ime Udoka demands a lot out of his players and that they're going to be gassed playing three games in four nights. It is just, to me, lame that rest days are acceptable across pro sports. And a night where Fred VanVleet was out with an ankle injury, a re-aggravation of a different area on the same ankle. I don't know how that works. A little confusing. Amen Thompson, out. Alperen Şengün, out. Dylan Brooks, out. They were all game-time decisions, so we all had a clue that this was all going to happen. But not only that, Tari Eason, out. Steven Adams, out. And then at the end of last night's game, where the Rockets actually scrapped and fought their way back to make it a two-score game or so at the very end, they decide, you know what, Jalen Green, the one starter that we had out last night, we're just not going to put him back into the game. So, yes, there were some good moments. Reed Sheppard looked good in his first ever start. Cam Whitmore had an insane dunk. Jabari Smith Jr. hasn't been hurt yet. Jock Landale, he's alive. There were some notable things that happened last night, but I think it was all ruined because something that just I feel like happens way too much across sports happened. The Rockets rested a bunch of players, and I think it's lame. These guys are paid tons of money. Why can't you play every single night? I get it. Blah, blah, blah. Not the playoffs. Everyone in basketball does it, and the Rockets at least tried last night, but it still sucks. I hate it. I would like to see it not as accepted across sports, not just in basketball, but it's at its worst in basketball, and last night's another example of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially bad when you have someone like me who likes basketball, basically has to cover it for their job, and I see that Jock Landale is I see the tweet that Jock Landale is starting at center, and I'm like, all right, cool, I can do my defensive driving in peace. I can just hit next on all these videos until the quiz. It does suck. It's something where it's just kind of the realities of having an 82-game season in this amount of time that you're trying to do it, where it's just there's going to be games where it's four games and five nights, or like this one, three and four, which is especially strange that now they chose to kind of make this, I guess, tactical retreat against OKC, where they had a stretch right before the All-Star break, where it was another one where it was like three back-to-backs, not in a row, but with a day off in between.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that wasn't the one that you rested guys in the middle of that, or you know, at the beginning of that. It is.
It shouldn't be either. That's where I'm at. I mean, I understand why they do it. I just hate that now it's accepted across sports. You see it in baseball, too. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Alex Bregman's really the only Astro last year that was playing in every single game. And I get it. You got to rest Yordan Alvarez. But, I mean, baseball's a very low-intensity sport. Unless you're a pitcher, I really don't get it on that front. We're going to see it in football eventually. We see it at the end of the season for some of the teams that have already clinched playoff situations.
Saquon Barkley like just chose not to break the all-time rushing record for a season. And some of it is just how much, not just in basketball, but in all these sports, I guess other than baseball, really, where you put so much emphasis on the playoffs and winning the championship, where Saquon Barkley was like, no, because if I turn my ankle in the last game of the season trying to get a record, everyone's going to call me selfish and an a-hole for it.
Which is also crazy, because it is a team accomplishment to run for the most yards in NFL history. But, hey, they won the Super Bowl, and you can argue now with the benefit of hindsight that helped them, you know? But I remember this happened once a couple of years after the Patriots went 18-1. The Colts had a chance to go undefeated.
They're 14-0 and sat the last two games.
They sat the last two games, and then they lost in the playoffs. But everyone was like, the Colts are really smart here, getting losses now, which won't happen in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like, have you forgotten the entire existence of the Peyton Manning era and what happens in the playoffs, especially when they go up against the, at the time, San Diego Chargers? So this is one of those things where it's become more and more accepted every single year. And I hate that no one's pushing back against it. I feel like I'm the only one that does that.
Yeah, there is a little bit of it's like the Rockets, you've officially arrived as a playoff team when you're sitting starters in March. It's like you officially are like, congratulations. You have expectations for the playoffs just by doing this. But there is a little bit of I think more teams need to be realistic with like, so we need to sit guys to make this long playoff run, and I'd include the Rockets in this, where it's like, so we think we're going to be playing until late May, early June.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is kind of, you know, for me, it's most important that these guys get the four seed for a chance to advance in the playoffs. Like, I don't really have any aspirations as far as, or expectations of what they're going to do deep into the playoffs. For me, it's like, no, getting to the playoffs with the best seed you can. That is what the Rockets season should be about, not like, well, you know. And I get with, like, Fred VanVleet re-aggravating an injury. Like, case by case, some, like, a couple of these, I can kind of see the why they sat him. But sitting, like, all of them, and like basically anyone on a borderline case, you sit them, like Shingun, Amin Thompson, Dylan Brooks, guys that we didn't know had injuries.
Right.
Like sitting these guys, that's where it kind of stretches the level of like, okay, this is acceptable.
We put rules in place to stop this literally last year, but it applies to star players.
It's all stars.
Which is
and like,
the vaguest term possible. And I mean, I've said on the air, I think Amin Thompson's a star where other Rockets players aren't. But I mean,
I think that's me saying that
and projecting more than that's actually reality. So the Rockets have almost a get out of jail free card with this. And I don't want to dump on them too much because honestly, the way that they played last night, they played their asses off, all things considered.
It's a close game in the fourth quarter.
And everyone in the NBA does it. So it's not like they're the only team that does it. I just feel like this has become accepted, and it's at its worst in basketball. A couple of texts here on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776. From the 832, that's why the NBA is tanking in ratings. Sitting players sucks for the young kids. My brother-in-law sunk a lot of money to watch the Golden State Warriors for my nephew for a Christmas gift. The key players didn't play. My nephew doesn't watch basketball anymore. I don't know if I fully believe that last part, but I would understand why. It's very annoying how much they do it. And best case scenario, it makes the players completely unrelatable. You have an entire offseason. It's half a year. I get that some of you might be playing deep into the playoffs. I get that some guys might be playing on an international team or something like that occasionally. But really what to me just sucks is that a night like last night, where the Rockets are going up against a team that they played in the NBA Cup Final, who has the best record in the Western Conference, you played nobody. And at times last night, you're playing effing zone defense. You played zone defense. Zone is for cowards. I say that as someone who went to Syracuse University. You're playing zone, and I get it. It actually worked for a little bit of time, but it just annoys me that this is accepted. And this isn't the only thing where it's happened with the Houston sports team this week, because if you saw on Sunday, Lionel Messi was supposed to play in an Inter-Miami Dynamo game. He did not travel to Houston. Why? Because of a coach's decision to rest him due to the congested team schedule. He's not hurt. So this is everything. And I get it. He's Lionel Messi. But this is the most paid player in Major League Soccer history. And on top of that, pretty sure that we allowed this guy to get out of a country where he was wanted for like tax fraud or something like that. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I don't think I'm libeling here. It happened overseas, so if it did, you know, whatever. That's an overseas thing.
He was accused of tax fraud.
Right.
I don't know what the result of that was.
The United States has provided him a haven, and they're not playing him on a game against the Dynamo. And at least the Dynamo offered free tickets going forward. But I'm trying to think of what's the one sport where guys show up every night. And you know what's crazy? The sport where guys show up every single night is the WWE. That's it, though.
They fight every night.
They have, like, no insurance. They go every single night. I mean, for God's sake, Sean, John Cena in that heel turn that he had with Cody Rhodes, I mean, Cody Rhodes got hurt because Travis Scott hit him too hard while he was down on the ground. And he's going to show up the next night to work. But in basketball, we can't do that. And in the NFL, we're starting to not do that. And in baseball, we can't do that. And it's annoying. It's a small thing. I understand all of that, and I'm not dumping on the Rockets because this is just part of a larger problem, and I hate it. I hate that sports are trending this way. It's one of the reasons, you know, I love this job that I have. But when you're doing this on a nightly basis and paying attention to every single game as best you can, and the team that you cover for a living isn't trying their best when you're, like, putting in the time and effort to watch them, you're staying in, you're not going out on the dates with people that are going to flake on you anyway, so that you can watch the Rockets game at home. A great game that you had circled on your calendar a couple of weeks ago, and then, no one plays. It sucks. It's lame, and I wish it wasn't accepted, and I think it buries some cool things that happened last night, including Cam Whitmore, who had his career high in points, and Reed Sheppard, who also started and had a career high in points, and hopefully some people are stopping the panicking about the drafting Reed Sheppard in the draft this past year.
As an aside, Reed Sheppard really needed this.
Yes.
Like, not just the sitting everybody so he does get a big platform to play, but also actually doing it and playing well and doing it against the Thunder is another nice one. So it is like it really turns down the heat on Reed Sheppard, oh my God.
Yeah.
Did they just draft like some guy off of Hoosiers? Did they just draft Jimmy Chitwood off of Hoosiers and put him in the NBA? No.
Are you saying that because he's white?
Yes, that's exactly that is exactly what people are saying about him.
There is a little racism against Reed Sheppard right now. You know, I thought the white guys were having a moment, you know, with DeGene.
Yeah, but DeGene plays.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, I think A, you don't really get this opportunity, like Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore don't get this opportunity if guys play. So it was like a kind of catch 22, I guess, for them, or for, you know, a Rockets fan being like, you know, I really want to see what it looks like if Reed Sheppard's like not the number one option, but like a main option for a team. And it's like, here you go.
Yeah.
we're sitting everybody to do it.
He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to chime in, you can, on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. We are live at Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational on this wonderful Mardi Gras. I hear there's something called a red flag alert today. That sounds terrifying. Red flag alert is apparently, this is a weather prognostication from someone without a meteorology degree, but apparently that means that there's a chance for fires because of all the wind and the dryness. But hey, not right now here at the Wildcat Golf Club.
No,
okay?
it was raining when I got here.
So come out, hang out with us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Up next, we continue this conversation, and how much more rock bottom can the Dallas Mavericks get? Because last night, I think they sunk to a new low. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wildcat Golf Club for ESPN Houston's occasional invitational. Here's Paul Gallant.
That Rockets loss last night, a noble loss, was lame because it is yet another game in sports where a team decided, you know what, the game doesn't matter that much. Let's focus on the big picture. Let's rest a bunch of guys. I think a good text brought up, 713-780-3776. That's how you jump aboard the HRNP listener line. Said, hey, look, the Rockets need all the wins that they can get right now to avoid the play-in. They were at the two spot not too long ago, and now take a look where they're at. They're the five seed in the Western Conference, and I think what's an even more scary thought, if you want to see this team actually make the playoffs, between the two seed Lakers, yeah, the Lakers are the two seed now, after getting Luka, they've won six in a row, eight of their last 10. Only 7.5 games separate the two seed and 10 seed. That's the Dallas Mavericks right now. So they're probably toast. We'll get to them in just a moment.
They're sinking.
I mean, they just continue to take L after L after L. But these games do matter. I don't know that with, what, 20 or so games left, 21 games left, that the Rockets can really afford to say, I don't know about this one. They're one of the youngest teams in the league. Do they really need the rest for three games in four nights? I mean, it's crazy to think that because they put in so much effort on the defensive side of things, that's almost a get-out-of-jail-free card for the Rockets. Well, they play hard every night, so they shouldn't have to go every night. No, what are we doing? Why is this so accepted across not just basketball, but all sports? Pisses me off. Anyway, update in the NFL. The New York Jets, who were just 24 hours ago desperately putting out feelers for a Devontae Adams trade. The Jets have taken several calls about Devontae Adams, which is a load of crap. That definitely never happened. The Jets are releasing Devontae Adams. This is what you've been waiting for if you're the Houston Texans. Now, you're going to have to get creative with a contract that you would give to Devontae Adams to make it fit in the salary cap. And there's also the possibility that Adams just waits for wherever Aaron Rodgers ends up, because Rodgers is going to meet the same fate sooner rather than later. But this is what you do. This is the move you make. Trading for a guy, trading for a veteran receiver, nah. Sign a guy. That way, you don't have to give up any assets to bring him in. And I'm not 100% certain of the specifics for the Devontae Adams cut. If they, the Texans, could get some sort of a discount by moving on from Adams because he's already earned a certain amount of money and the Jets have to pay some of the dead cap money or something like that. I'm not 100% sure how it works if it's similar to coaches. And I'm not going to try to bore you with the details
of
explaining money. Right, yeah. All I'm saying is this is what you wait for. And there will be more receivers cut. Cooper Kupp is going to get cut. I would be shocked if he's actually traded from one team to another, just given what he's been the last 3 years. If Deebo Samuel's going for a fifth-round pick, is Cooper Kupp going to be going for more than that? Doubtful. Yeah, I think that's the market, right? Because, yeah. I mean, it's been 3 years since we've last seen Cooper Kupp be Cooper Kupp, and it's been a couple of years since we've last seen Deebo Samuel be Deebo Samuel. I mean, he's been pretty mid ever since that Super Bowl performance against the Kansas City Chiefs. So Devontae Adams is being cut by the Jets. Nick Caserio's got to pick up the phone and make a phone call.
Yeah, I think he's right in the range of the kind of veteran pickup that maybe you are getting him at a low point of his value. He is getting up there in a not in a worrying way, like he's, you know, I'm not sure if he can still drive, but he is getting up there in terms of receivers age. He's 32 right now, so that is kind of the, I guess, the rub. I'm like, do you think that a lot of this is just the kind of crappy situations he's been in the last couple of years? Do you think it's just because, well, he got traded halfway in the middle of a season on a dying Jets team, and the year before he was playing with Jimmy Garoppolo? In Las Vegas, where it's like, okay, so that's why his numbers kind of not fell off a cliff, because it's still a 1,000-yard receiver, but that's why they dip from, you know, pretty unanimously a top three guy in the NFL to getting cut. I think that depending on the price, I think that he's a real option for the Texans. I am worried, though, that he, for some reason, just wants to hitch his career to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I would think after this past season with the Jets that Adams...
You wouldn't?
Wouldn't.
Yeah, me too.
I mean...
But I don't know.
There's certainly an element of, well, it's the effing Jets. I mean, we're just in the worst organization in sports.
Yeah.
And they are.
I have Brick Johnson trying to talk to me.
Yeah, exactly. But I also think there's an element of, hey... So Rodgers had some decent moments last season.
Yeah, he wasn't terrible.
But is Aaron Rodgers who you want to be with for, what, one more year? Do you want to pick up and move again?
That's the thing.
Green Bay to Vegas to New York? Like, what's next?
And you made a good point there with, do you want to hitch your wagon to Aaron Rodgers for one more year of Aaron Rodgers? Maybe a second? Like, how long do we think Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing? So is he a guy that you actually want to move with, or you see as a reason to go to a team is because they have Aaron Rodgers? Well, they might only have him for 1 year because he's a quarterback in his 40s.
Mm-hmm. That's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show live at Wildcat Golf Club on this Mardi Gras. We're going to continue to have to provide this reset, I think, for every single day that we do the show. But obviously it's no longer Gallant and George. Joe George has not been canned or fired.
No, I saw him hurry earlier.
He is in a different role at the station now. His own decision, by the way. He has some family things going on and I think wants a little more time to spend with his family. For those who don't know, in addition to doing the show that he was doing with me, Joe was doing so effing much. Like, honestly, there are times where I was like, dude, do you need help with this? I mean, I would like a little pay bump for middle management, Joe, if I'm going to help you with it. But do you need help with it? He does a ton. He is still doing a ton for us. He's just no longer doing the show. I'm sure he'll chime in occasionally because the man will be walking up and down the hallways at ESPN 97.5, 92.5 studios. And he's out here at the occasional invitational. We're going to push back talking about the Dallas Mavericks for a little bit. The Mavericks are a mess right now. The big news last night, Kyrie Irving tore his ACL. Just to run through really quickly everything that's been going down for the Mavericks over the last, couple of weeks. Trade Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis. Davis gets injured immediately.
Game one, yeah. Played well. Played well, but got hurt.
Kyrie now has torn his ACL. You've had multiple fan protests. Mm-hmm. Coffins dropped off at the stadium. Supposedly threats against Nico Harrison's life. And I think last night, where you're seeing fans, after chanting MVP for Kyrie, who did shoot his two free throws after tearing his ACL in an homage to Kobe Bryant, I guess, fans were leaving the game in mass, and multiple people, fans, we're not talking about prominent Mavericks media or anything like that, were putting out long notes app statements about how they are no longer going to be season ticket holders for the Dallas Mavericks, who, by the way, chose yesterday to announce that they're raising prices for season tickets by 8%. This is straight out of the playbook of the bad owner in Major League. This is straight out of that playbook, minus Nico Harrison and Mavericks ownership being some sort of hot stripper. Like, yeah. That's ex-stripper, my bad. Respect the strong, independent
yes, especially
woman.
After Honora. Yeah.
Right. exactly. So I'm just talking about everything the Mavericks are doing right now. They could not possibly send more middle fingers to their fan base. And the karmic justice, you could argue that they are 100% deserving of all this crap that, as an organization, they are dealing with right now. My biggest question, though, is not about the Mavericks. It's really, what is Kyrie Irving going to do with his free time? Kyrie Irving plus time away from basketball is a dangerous combination.
Some YouTube rabbit holes?
Oh, not just YouTube rabbit holes. I mean, Kyrie Irving will podcast.
I'm surprised he hasn't already.
I am too. And I mean, I think with an ACL injury like that and the very likely possibility he'll never be the same player again, I think there's a very good chance that podcasting Kyrie is going to happen in the near future.
That'll be interesting. Interesting thoughts.
Yes, 100%. If you want to weigh in on what I found to be lame, the Rockets resting all those starters in last night's loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder, you can. 713-780-3776 to call in or text in to get aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Up next, we do, in case you missed it, everything that you might have missed over the weekend in sports, including a hot take on whether or not players should go visit the White House after winning a championship, and LeBron James putting his foot in his mouth. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show, at the occasional invitational for Wildcat Golf Club.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wildcat Golf Club, for ESPN Houston's occasional invitational. Here's Paul Gallant.
Indeed, we are. I look so spiffy right now, wearing my golf outfit.
You do look like a golfer.
I got golf slacks on. I got a Cabo del Sol polo on. I even got some golf shoes on. Now, am I golfing? No. Full admission, a couple of weeks ago, when I, because things have been a little dry, decided to reach out to somebody that was rather frustrating to date, but was very fun when we actually could meet up in person. Not even kidding. I bought some nice golf pants and golf shoes because I was like, you know what? Maybe if I get into golf, we can make this work out. So I literally bought these pants and these shoes to try to reopen things with that chick. Whoops. We wish her well. She's actually great. The Q-Scal. There you go. We did give a date update yesterday. The Twitch always asks for the date updates all the time. No, stay listening. Stay on topic, okay? You don't run me. I run you. It's the Paul Gallant Show now, bitch. Anyway. It's a family-friendly show, so I apologize for that language. Devontae Adams got released by the Jets. Someone thinks he will end up on the Chiefs. Would be interesting to see him there. I would assume that they would be towards the top. Adams should be targeting a team with a good quarterback. Christopher Soriano on YouTube, and maybe we save this for our tinfoil hat Thursday segment. Aaron Rodgers told Davante Adams, this is my tinfoil hat theory, that he'd list him as a beneficiary to his estate if he caught Rodgers' last touchdown. That doesn't sound that implausible, given the relationship that those two have. It's 12:35 on a Tuesday, every Tuesday at 12:30. We roll through everything that we didn't get to on yesterday's show that took place over the weekend. In case you missed it, starts now.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Charles Barkley, former Houston Rocket, inside the NBA on TNT, superstar, the one man in the United States of America who can say pretty much whatever he wants, and most people will generally agree, even if he's talking out of his ass, had a very pointed take about recent conversation over whether or not teams that win championships should feel obligated to visit the White House and meet the President of the United States.
Yo, man, I don't care who the president is. He's the President of the United States. It's bothered me the last 10 years. They're like, well, I'm not going because this certain person's president. I was like, dude, it's the President of the United States. Even though I disagree with President Trump on some things, if I met him, I would still give him the respect and dignity he deserved. I say, yo, we can disagree, but it bothers me when these teams don't want to go to the White House. I'm just disappointed, and he touched on it a little bit, why we got so divided. What do we get to as a country? We like, well, we're not going to the White House. We don't like who's in there. That's just stupid, in my opinion.
It is a very cool thing if you get to do it. If you've done it before, maybe you don't want to go back and do it again. But I look at it from this perspective. I think a group decision, it's kind of an F you to the individual beliefs of every single one of your teammates. You do not want to be the one guy that goes, whether it's a right-leaning president or a left-leaning president, if the entire team opts out. There's definitely an element of that. So I'm glad that the Eagles, that rumor about them potentially not visiting the White House, which they did not visit the last time that they won a Super Bowl, which was when President Trump was in office. I am glad that they are going, at least as a team. And if somebody doesn't want to go, you should respect their decision to not go. And I say that as someone who, growing up in Boston, still living in Boston at this moment in time, I remember when a Boston Bruins goalie, Tim Thomas, who helped the Bruins win a Stanley Cup in 2011, refused to meet Barack Obama in 2011. And he got crushed for it. You know what? You're an American citizen. It might be something you regret years later, but if you don't want to go meet the president, you shouldn't have to go. Like, there shouldn't be an obligation, but it also shouldn't be a group decision where everyone might feel peer pressured into not actually going.
The only problem is that, and less so in a football sense, but just because there's so many guys on the team that, like, you'll get enough. But, like, on, you know, a baseball or basketball team, it's like only four guys want to go, then it looks crazy. Then
right.
Only four guys are standing. And then that's when the White House probably just rescinds the offer.
The Eagles did that in 2018.
Yeah.
Or they were only going to have a couple of guys go. And Donald Trump was like, well, F this. That's going to be a weird look. And it would. It would be terrible optics if there's just five guys for a 53-person team.
I do wonder. Yeah. I just wonder how much of this is. I just need to be someone that's not Donald Trump where we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I just want to see, like, it, you know, whatever. If J.D. Vance runs in 2028. Yeah, 2028 and wins, like, will this trend continue? Because right now it's Tim Thomas in 2011. It's like one guy here or there. I don't know if it's just Tim Thomas, but it's...
There's probably more. That's the one that came to
mind
first.
It's one guy versus, like, entire teams being like, we're not going. But it's, like, it's only been with... Like, other than COVID, I guess, that probably made it hard for, like, the 2020 champions to go to the White House when Biden was in there.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't remember any teams being like, we're not going because of Biden.
I don't remember any teams going, we're not going because of Bush back in the day. It feels like a very recent, very particular
for sure,
thing.
For sure, because the stories that pop up about it, everybody knows that if you have a story that involves the current president, it is going to get clicks, even if it is a rumor. And it seems that the original report that the Eagles weren't going to go was completely fabricated from the beginning. In case you missed it, continues everything you might have missed over the weekend. LeBron James, I think this was after the Lakers game on Thursday, went on some weird tangent about the face of the NBA. If you missed those comments, here is the king.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but like, I don't know. Why do you want to be the face of the league when all the people that, you know, that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis on everybody? You have that responsibility. It's just weird. It's weird energy from the people that, you know, I don't know. But Channing, he said it. He said it perfectly. Couldn't have said it no better. But Ant said he don't want it. Obviously, I didn't ask for it. But I knew there was a responsibility for me, not only to my family, my friends, my community, and whoever that was going to follow my journey throughout my career.
That last part's so insufferable. Like, my community and my family, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Like, God, it's just always so self-important. And I mean, talking about being the face of the NBA, as if that's not self-important enough. But LeBron followed up on those comments with a series of tweets. And this is what he had to say about the face of the NBA. It ain't about face of the game. It ain't about one person or one show. It's about the culture of basketball, the most beautiful game in the world. Our game has never been better. Incredible young stars from all over the world and some older ones. Let's talk about Steph Curry, OKC, the Cavs. Even that can be discussed in a way that doesn't bring finality to the player's game, but leaves room to see how that player responds. Let's watch the journey of that player, talking about the face of the NBA. And then he keeps on blabbing and blabbing and blabbing. And here's what I'm just going to say in response to LeBron James and those thoughts right there. Sure, basketball can be a great game, especially when you got a team like the Houston Rockets who play the way that they do. But, I don't know, when you see that the day after Alperen Şengün had a back injury, Amen Thompson had a shoulder injury, Dylan Brooks had a knee injury, and Fred VanVleet had an ankle injury, and Tari Eason had an injury, and Steven Adams had an injury, that all those guys are cleared to play for tonight's game against the Indiana Pacers, that is where I look at LeBron and I say, this is why there is so much negativity directed at the game, because guys don't play in every game. Period. That's all. In case you missed it, continues.
Yes. I wouldn't call any of those guys the face of the league.
Right. But still, though, it's like these guys don't want us to call out the game. But over the last couple of weeks, like, there's been so many reasons to do it. You have the Mavericks completely screwing over a fan base. You have an all-star game where nobody cared. And again, it's not been cared about for a while, but it's really just boom, boom, boom. And now, for me, today, another example of the NBA saying, yeah, not all games matter. Screw you, fans, if you spent money to watch the games in person or watch this with your time on television.
I will push back and say that, like, most fans don't watch all 82 games.
I know.
So that is where, like, we're kind of talking out of both sides of our mouth. Where, like, or baseball. Like, I hope that you don't watch all 162 Astros games because you need a life. Like
yeah, that's a lot of time.
And same thing with basketball, where it is like, I get why you need to be available for all 82 or all 82 that you can be available for, but it's like, fans also, this is something fans won't tell you. Fans take off nights too. Like, fans don't watch every single one of these games. That is where I think a little bit of this just gets a kind of, you know, you're only hearing one side of it, and the one side isn't going to say, well, I actually won't watch a random Monday night game.
Yeah. Well, look, that's true, but there's no reason to watch every single game, too, because they do this.
Yeah, but that's also part of having an 82-game schedule.
That's true.
Is that every game is less meaningful. Like, you know, 10 years ago, were you watching all 82? Like, no one was.
I'm going to pretend I was.
Yeah, so like you're watching all 82 of the Kevin Martin Rockets?
No.
They played every night.
Well, actually, the 2011-2012
yeah.
Rockets,
you
that's the one season that Joel Blank and I, we watched every single game together.
Yeah,
on this tiny little TV that might have been in the back bigger than it was on the actual screen.
Yeah.
It was like one of those old school ones that might have weighed like 40 pounds.
A Sanyo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, one of those. Yeah, yeah. The NFL Combine was over the weekend. Some cleanup, things we didn't get to. Todd McShay and others said that Shedeur Sanders had an unprofessional interview with some team. They won't name the team. I bet it was the Jets. Travis Hunter said what he does on a football field, both playing corner and playing wide receiver, is harder than what Shohei Ohtani does. I disagree with that completely. Hitting a baseball is very difficult. Throwing a baseball is also very difficult.
I'm just glad that Travis Hunter said this on March, whatever, 1st or March 2nd, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, July 15th, where we would have had to talk about it all day.
Yes.
I'm glad that this is such a tailor-made sports radio topic that I...
Summer topic,
that I
for sure.
...turn the channel off of, which is harder. And it's like, we're talking about two different kinds of hard. Yes, obviously, like, hitting a baseball is freaking
and
impossible.
Throwing.
And then also pitching is also impossible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... As a defensive back and as a receiver, you're doing a lot of the same things. Doing a lot of the same movements. By the way, LSU tackle Will Campbell, who a lot of people like, he's got the shortest wingspan of any tackle at the NFL Combine since 2011, and apparently that means he sucks. Apparently he's a T-Rex, and he's going to be a failure in the NFL. That's one of the things that was like the prevailing narrative coming out of the Combine this weekend. This poor guy has the shortest arms ever, projected first-round pick, and everyone's like, yeah, that guy sucks
because
of the Combine.
Or it means that you're a guard.
that's
what it means.
Too.
It means like you're not – guess what? Will Campbell, you're not a tackle anymore.
Yeah, he's going to get the Titus Howard treatment. Jimmy Johnson retired from Fox Sports, and Jerry Jones said he cherished his time with Jimmy Johnson. I'm going to call crap on that.
Yep.
Also, Jerry, very quiet in Dallas, and some are speculating a big move could be on the horizon because they put a gag in Jerry, who used to always have a press conference on his bus, which featured sometimes a lot of Johnny Walker Blue. Fun weekend of college basketball. You saw our Cougs, our beloved Cougs. They won last night against Kansas on senior night. Kelvin Sampson teared up when Juwan Roberts was introduced as part of that senior night. Tennessee beat Alabama with a deep buzzer-beating three, 79-76. And number one Auburn beat Kentucky for the first time in a really long time. The game featured a lot of technical issues, either due to an ABC truck losing all power or a generator fire at Rupp Arena. Given the general state of Kentucky, I'm going to assume the latter. And Kentucky head coach Mark Pope, speaking of fire, said he will burn his suit when he gets home after that. In case you missed it, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are live at the Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational, which benefits kids' meals. You can hang out with us on YouTube or Twitch, or you can come out here and have some fine beverages on this beautiful Mardi Gras. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. A question, Astros related, that you answer on the other side. Give me a legitimate reason that Cam Smith should not have a chance to make the Astros opening day roster. I'm Paul Gallant. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wildcat Golf Club for ESPN Houston's Occasional Invitational. Here's Paul Gallant.
Why, oh why, should Cam Smith not get a chance to make the Astros opening day roster? I understand. I'm just a baseball casual. Your sport confuses me. I'm a football guy. And I also hate to agree with Michael Schwab, who has somehow gone from Astros aggregator to someone who implies that he has insider Astros knowledge. Not sure that I buy that he's as connected as he portrays, but that's besides the point. Schwab tweeted this out. If top prospect Cam Smith keeps hitting like this, he's making the opening day roster, and he's probably starting. He needs about 30 to 40 more at-bats this spring before we can know for sure, but I haven't seen a hitting prospect this special since Yordan. This sounds more like a hot take than something that he is hearing from inside the confines of the Astros clubhouse. And I imagine if I were to ask anyone who's more connected than Schwab about Cam Smith, even after his inches away from a grand slam yesterday, they're going to tell me that Cam Smith is not going to make the opening day roster. And I saw this post from Adam Spillane, who covers the Astros for the flagship and for the Associated Press. This: there is no chance Cam Smith is on the Astros opening day roster in 2025. Period. None. Period. Zero. Period.
Wow.
And, okay. I mean, I get it. He hasn't played any games above A-ball. He hasn't played as anything other than a third baseman this spring. And Isak Paredes is the guy who's at third base. But I need a legitimate reason as to why he shouldn't get a chance if this is what he looks like. I need something more than some of the explanations I saw from, yes, informed baseball minds about how, well, he's an infielder and he's not going to make the roster above Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers and John Singleton's a bench player. Those three guys are in the way of this? That is crap in my baseball casual mind. I get it, okay? You guys know what I am when it comes to talking about this, but I need a legitimate reason as to why there's zero chance, none, finito, nada, that Cam Smith can be on the opening day roster. Because what we've seen thus far, it was what, two games with two home runs in one, three games, and a bases-loaded triple in the other. I need more. I need a legitimate reason. And it can't be, oh, well, what are you going to do with John Singleton? Cut his ass. I don't need John Singleton anymore.
Yeah.
Even if he's in the best shape of his life.
The you can't call him up because of John Singleton or Chaz McCormick. Like, those are not good reasons. I agree with you there. And I think I mostly agree with Adam Spillane. Maybe I don't throw in as many periods and zeros. But I would say, you know, 1% chance or something, 5% chance that he makes the opening day roster. To me, it is just the fact that he hasn't played any long sustained AA ball. Like, he's played 5 AA games in his career. And I get it, he's a college prospect, so he is a little bit more developed just coming out of, you know, as he enters his professional career. But I just want to see just a little bit more, just a little bit longer of a sample size before you call this guy up, because I mean, even spring training, again, we're talking about he's hitting the triple off a guy who doesn't have a picture on MLB.com.
Yeah.
So I think I just need a little bit more. Now, if he does this for the next 2 weeks of spring training and he's having this game or these kind of performances over and over again, that's when I'm willing to bump it up and really consider it. But until then, we are just dealing with, such a small sample size of – it's like in basketball, the summer league all-stars, where it's like a lot of times the guys who are awesome in summer league have no chance of making an NBA roster.
Right. So I think Reed Shepard, the comparison that's being made on YouTube, let him sit back, watch. But no, you don't want him to sit back and watch.
No,
you want him to play.
Play, but play in porpoise.
If theoretically we bring him up to the major league roster, you want to play him right away. So I understand that. But I do think, it should not be that steep of a mountain to climb over. We're talking about Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers and John Singleton. Oh, no.
No. Yeah. No.
So to me, yes, I agree with you. Those are not good reasons.
Time manipulation, if you want to be a cheapo, Jim Crane. They don't Windows really, always open, Bob. That's what I thought.
Yeah, they don't really do that. Or I don't know how much they'll do that. But that was 10 years ago.
I know. But listen, F that now.
The thing that really keeps this from being like semi-realistic to me is the fact that he's playing all these games at third base, where third base to me is a harder position for him to make this year's Astros team, as opposed to if he was playing all these games while playing left or right field, then it's like, oh my God, he probably could walk in and just be better than Chaz McCormick, or at least be close. And then as he's, you know, working through being a rookie in baseball, like, he'll probably slump a little bit. There'll be times where he's worse. But then overall, you believe in the growth that will come from this experience. But the fact that they're not trying him in the outfield at all, A, kind of tells me that they're, like, they're not seeing him as a opening day Houston Astro. If they're playing him in right field, then, like, this would be so much louder of a conversation.
If Altuve can play left field, why can't Cam Smith play right?
Oh, because Altuve is one of the greatest Astros of all time.
I mean, that's the really weird
this
thing.
This kid just graduated college in 2024.
I'm a baseball casual, but like, I give me the best hitters possible. Okay, the defense can figure itself out. These, you know, if you've played baseball at any level, you should be reasonably competent as a defensive player. Reasonably
Especially
competent,
outfielder,
right? You know, like, I feel like outfield should not be that hard, because I imagine that most of the best baseball players out there have played a variety of different positions over the course of their life and are pretty competent at all of them. Maybe not like great, but
we're not asking them to play shortstop here.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to see Cam Smith up this year. Will we? Probably not for a while, but I do not think that he should be just ruled out for making the opening day roster so matter-of-factly the way that some are doing it. And fine with baseball casual, but F it. As I said a week ago, F it. See, that's much better logic than John Singleton.
Yeah, no, the John Singleton, like, you can't put him on the roster because
he's
of John.
He's so hot now. He's jacked.
Yeah, he is jacked. But I think that it's the positional thing and just the small sample size thing. Now, if by June he's still playing like this in double or triple A, then we can have that conversation.
I'm with you there.
But as far as, you know, 23 days from now, not quite there yet.
Paul Gallant Show. That's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. We are live at the Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational. Lots of golfers out. I think some people are coming back into the clubhouse. It is Mardi Gras, so come and get your drink on. We talked about this earlier in the show. I think that sports have a problem when it comes to guys just playing every single game. We saw it in last night's Rockets game, if you want to weigh in on that. And not the best news about C.J. Stroud that just came out of the NFL Combine. Stick around for that. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.